The Michael K. Show.
There is a possibility that the Knicks, according to Vegas, will be the dog against either Philadelphia or Miami. So the question is, why? Is it a disrespect to the Knicks? Is it an over-respect to Miami or Philadelphia? Why is everybody disrespecting them? I think the answer lies in the fact that the experts, and I would definitely put Vegas in the expert territory, they don't respect where you finish in the conference because most of these teams don't care about the regular season. Do you know who cares about the regular season? The Knicks care about the regular season.
Oh,
so
damn right,
what I think the experts are saying is that the Knicks finishing second is fugazi because they're the one team that cared when everybody else didn't.
The Michael K. Show on 98.7 ESPN.
Oh, yeah. K. Show 98.7 ESPN. Yankees down 2-0 to the Blue Jays. Bottom three. Don, you had some things that you had to get off your chest, some theories that you had to speak to with regard to the Lakers and the fact that many people thought the Lakers should have found a way to tank last night to avoid having to get the 7 seed and play Denver, that they would have been better off losing last night, playing the winner of the Golden State game yesterday, and having a chance to then take on the 1 seed, Oklahoma City.
I'm going to go on a limb and label that opinion moronic. Not the people that say it, but it's a moronic take. So you're telling me tank against the Pelicans so that you can now play the Kings, beat them, and then you'll get the better matchup against Oklahoma City rather than having to play the Denver Nuggets. That's what we're saying, the idea.
Right?
I've got that correct. So I'm willing to possibly not make the playoffs at all to avoid playing Denver to get Oklahoma City because now you got to play the Kings. Now, that game was after, so you don't know. It could be the Warriors. They've lost their last 5 games against the Kings. Now, I guess that, granted, it's the regular season, but why would I create another layer against a really good basketball team and run the risk of not even making it out of the play-in? Isn't that moronic?
You can't. Ultimately, the answer is you can't risk it. You're correct. You can't.
Now, let me see what the record against the Warriors is. Again, I understand it's regular season, so you got to take it with a grain of... They've lost their last 3 games against the Warriors. So I don't know why you would add another layer. Now, you would get the game at home, correct? So that's a little bit of a different, that's a favorite, but I just don't know. I know that's the way the Heat made it last year. They lost, and then they won, and then they got in. I just don't know. You can't plan for that, because then you're out. At least you know if you win, you're in. Yes, it's a very difficult matchup, and I'd rather play the Thunder than the Nuggets. But I can't take the chance of tanking that. And what does that look like? I mean, honestly, do you want to really be a part of that, Peter? I don't know how the Cavaliers even live with themselves to throw that game against Charlotte just so they get the better matchup with the Pacers. Honestly, the Magic, I guess they're going to. Why would you do that? Yeah, and to advocate for it? Games on national television, you're going to tank to get the better matchup? And what kind of bulletin board fodder would that be for the Thunder? You embarrassed yourself on national television so you can play us? Oh.
Exactly. Now you got to get the hardest version of them, too.
Yeah, and then the Kings. The Kings would be sitting there like, oh, you think you're going to beat us because you're already planning on beating us already. Put that on the bulletin board. Honestly, I respect people. Moronic. Like almost functionally illiterate take.
Well, no. Well, it depends what the take is. If the take is, you know what? If you're the Lakers, you really don't hate if you lose to New Orleans because you win the next one, you get a better matchup. But to suggest they do anything about it, Don, that's where I think it goes into crazy. Now, last night, if you want the quintessential Zion Williamson story.
Oh, my God. You're so right.
Zion was brilliant last night. In 36 minutes, he scored 40 points. He had 11 rebounds. he was just Zion Williamson. And then down the stretch, ends up getting hurt, hamstring issue. They lose the game, and now they will have to play Sacramento without Zion Williamson. It's just so, I hate to say it, Dom, but it encapsulates everything. He's absolutely amazing, and then he gets hurt. It's just, it's, he could end up, Don, with just one of the most all-time frustrating careers. Because, you know, and listen, maybe one day he'll settle in, and he ends up being more like, you know, Eric Lindros or Grant Hill, where, yes, they were supposed to be the best player in the league, and while they weren't that, they still had a damn good career. But that, Don, that almost becomes like the wishful thinking at a certain point. Because after a few years, if it's constantly not playing, your fear is you never start putting together long, full seasons.
Right.
Eventually, Don, if you remember, as it went on for Grant Hill, he ended up putting together many successful full seasons. He just wasn't the superstar he was supposed to be. He was what you'd call him, like a B-plus kind of star, a B-star.
That's it.
And I kind of hope that's what Zion could get, because I just don't seem to have any confidence, unfortunately, that he can ever give you a 75-80 game season.
Yeah, and then in the biggest spot, you're running the risk of losing him. Now they don't have him in the biggest game of the year.
Super frustrating, and they obviously need it. I don't know how you think reasonably they have a chance without him. I mean, obviously they've had stretches, this team. Now, this has been his, from an availability standpoint, by far his best season. And that's kind of what makes this stink so much, is that he finally gives you the output you've been looking for. Of course, he was basically gone all of last year, gave them a really good showing, 70 games this year. Put up the numbers you want. Now you're in the big spot when you need him, and you're going to have to try to do it without him. And then you have to hope that the hamstring's better and he's able to play should they get into the first round. But as we know, Don, those hamstring things, they can be so hard to get back from. You could be available right away. You could think you're available. Then you tweak it again. Just really tough.
Yeah, and forever, too. It just stinks. But, like, all those Knicks fans that wanted him, if you didn't want him, this is the exact reason why.
23-6-5 for the season. He's played in 70 games. His best output. Previously, his best year, I think, was like 60? Let's see, it was 61 in 2020-2021. Nothing, of course, his first year. 24 games his first year. 29 games his third year. So year two, he had 61. Year four, he had 70. Going to be interesting to see, of course, how he bounces back next year after having a full season. But going to be a tough spot for the Pelicans. Now, it's been a wacky day in terms of news stories, Don. We haven't even had time to get into the Belichick of it all. So there's the two stories that are sort of hovering over us are the Jontay Porter ban story in the NBA. If you somehow missed that, the Raptors' Jontay Porter, Michael Porter Jr.'s younger brother, has been banned from the NBA after an investigation revealed that he had disclosed information to bettors, limited participation in at least one game while he was with the Raptors, and bet on NBA games while playing in the G League. So in other words, what's being said here is there was a game in which he knew he wouldn't be available, told someone about it, they bet hundreds of thousands of dollars. Was it 80,000? What was the total bet? 80,000, sorry. It was an $80,000 same game parlay that featured an under on Porter's statistics and paid out $1.1 million. Porter ended up playing 3 minutes before leaving the game with an illness. The bet was placed with DraftKings and was not paid out. And Don, they did what the NBA had to do. They give him a lifetime ban.
You have no choice. You just can't be trusted. Now, was this somebody who had such a gambling problem that he felt like he had to do that? Or was he just colossally stupid?
Aren't both on the table?
That's why I'm asking, because I think both are on the table. But, you know, but you got to take one answer. It's very interesting because he's somebody who didn't make a ton of money. So the money he was making off of those bets were something. But the NBA absolutely had to do this. And now anybody else that even messes with anything knows, hey, I don't want to end up like Porter and be out of a job. So I don't really think that it was Silver had any other choice but to do this. But what I don't like, Peter, and I don't want to gang up on Michael with not being here, to me, this has nothing to do with the hypocrisy of these leagues being in bed with legal gambling. They're legal gambling. And there's a buffer with legal gambling. They're able to shut that bet down. God knows what happens if he's doing it with illegal gambling, what could have happened to him and all that. Like, so at least it's regulated, and it's stupid no matter what. Like, whether he was right. doing it illegally or on the app, or it's still obviously violating a rule and he should get kicked out. So I think both. I just get a little tired of every time there's a gambling story with him or Otani that you'll see the hypocrisy of, you know, throwing to Peter with a FanDuel read. To me, that's not hypocrisy. So is there hypocrisy in that alcohol is legal, but yet you're still not allowed to drink and drive? I mean, it's regulated, and if you violate the regulations, you get in trouble. I don't see the hypocrisy, Peter.
No, I mean, listen, they literally have, in College Park, Maryland, done. They had a brew-through. You've seen a brew-through before, haven't
no.
you?
No. Educate me.
So, it's a drive-through beer place.
Okay. I never heard it referred to as that, but it makes sense.
And, you know, but this was literally called the brew-through.
Okay.
And I did think it was, like, ironic. But at the same time, you go, oh, well, there's a law. Why can't you stop in your car and grab beer? Because the assumption is, if you're not a piece of garbage, you're going to grab the beer, go home, and drink it.
Right.
And so you could always argue that these things can't go together. But you don't have to be a heathen. The NBA can absolutely have. In fact,
hey.
I don't think the betting being legal had anything to do with this. In fact, I think the fact that it was with legal betting was why they were able to catch it. Had this been done with a bookie, Don, no one would have ever found out.
Right. So at least you keep an eye on it. And did we throw hypocrite or hypocrisy around a lot? But really, when you think about it, there are tons of vices. It's not just gambling and alcohol. It's just food. Like, I always got irritated when, like, well, of course we have morbidly obese people. Look how many McDonald's commercials there are. Well, I'm sorry. I make good choices, okay? I think McDonald's is fine. If you take care of yourself and you exercise and you don't partake every meal of the day, don't take it away from me because I happen to be responsible and you're an idiot. Like, just make good choices. Gambling should be legal in certain circumstances, but make good choices. Don't take it away from me because I make good choices and you don't. And if you've got a problem, then don't do it. But because you have a problem doesn't mean that you should be taken away from me. And because there's the possibility that Porter can go out there and bet on his own team and be a yo-yo doesn't mean that they're NBA's hypocrites for being in bed with legal gambling. It's legal. There are plenty of vices in the world. There's alcohol, there's food, there's gambling, and it all could exist in this world if people just take responsibility for their actions. If you have a problem, get help. If you got a problem, stay away. If you can't bet responsibly, don't bet. But that doesn't mean that these leagues can't get in bed if they just happen to know what they're doing. You know, I mean, come on. What, are you going to take everything away from people? I mean, I don't want to, like, stand on a soapbox here, but let's stop it already, all right? Don't put a label on an album because it's got a swear word. Be a responsible parent. Don't let your kids buy albums without checking out what they're doing.
I mean, it's just
don't
true.
Have everybody govern it. Just don't have the government or don't have other people parent my kids or take care of me. Have some responsibility for your family and for yourself.
I mean, because otherwise, it's everything.
Yeah.
As Don said, it's food, it's sex, yeah. It's smoking, it's drinking.
Right.
But it's everything.
Don't take Howard Stern off the air because it might be a little too blue for kids. Don't have your kids listen. Shut it off. You don't like it, turn it off. Don't take it away from me because you don't like it. That's as political as I'll get, but those are the things that like really... I was like big in college, Peter. That was my big thing, like labels on albums. Oh, my God.
Well, that was,
like
issue,
Jello Biafra. I was like going nuts. Because what happened, Peter, is that they put a label on an album, and then like Walmart would say, we're not going to sell albums that have labels on them. And then the poor kid that lives in like Arkansas and the Walmart's the only place they can purchase an album, now they get shut out. Like, because you don't, because, and that's, so I've always been sensitive to let's take things away from responsible people because there's a bunch of irresponsible people in the world.
Yeah, I don't think that the NBA's relationship with gambling has anything to do with one player deciding to give away state secrets so someone can make money. Right. Same with Ohtani. I mean, the Ohtani one was illegal gambling. Had nothing to even do with legal gambling. So
I don't think, because correct me if I'm wrong, they don't have legal gambling in California, right?
Right. But guess what? It happened anyway. It's not about the gambling. It's about the people involved.
Yeah, and if it had been on an app, I don't think that much money would have been exchanging hands, right?
Let's go to Brian in Wayne. Hey, Brian.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good.
Hello?
Yeah,
yes,
good, buddy. How you
we're
doing?
Good. How are you? Everything being family good?
Hey there.
They're all right. Thank you very much. I hope your families are all well. No, I was just calling regarding the betting. One... Yes, he should be made an example of, right? But again, I think it's probably lifetime ban is too extreme. Just because, Don, as you were saying, he could be a complete idiot. Sure, so lifetime ban. But what if he actually has a problem, right? And if this is a problem, drug addiction, you get banned a couple games, you go back to rehab, you come back. I know the biggest argument, the integrity of the game.
Yes.
I mean, I think the integrity of the game has been affected multiple ways, right? I think if you tank, it's not that severe, but it's still, right? You're willingly stopping yourself from winning or participating just to give yourself a better outcome in the future, right? I think that's affected, not to this extent of matchmaking, right? He bet on himself. But I honestly think if he has a true problem, he should get help. Now, whether they decide to bring it back or not, but at least show that.
But it's not so much, Brian, the way I look at it is not so much the punishment of you're not allowed to play anymore. How could you possibly allow him to play in the league again? How could anybody trust him again? Because that's the integrity of the sport, right? So if he plays in a game and misses a foul shot in a one-point game, he's forever tainted as the guy that probably threw the game. That's why he's not playing anymore. It's beyond punishment. It's just that, I'm sorry, you're just too tainted for me to allow you to play in an NBA game again.
I understand that. But why is it possible that for criminal offenses, right? Let's say domestic violence, you're banned one game. Brown was one game, and then the big story comes out that it was a while. Now he's released from the Giants and never, no one hired. No one wanted that kind of like negativity, right? But he was still allowed to come back, right? Some people are allowed to come back for things that are, in my opinion, more severe.
But it's not about severity, Brian. It's about like Pete Rose could have killed somebody. If he served his time, he'd be eligible to come back and play baseball. But because he bet on baseball, he can never play again because the integrity of the – we need to believe that the games we're watching are for real. And if you have somebody that is known to have thrown a game, then you can't let them back in the game because nobody will ever believe the result of any game he ever plays in again. So it's not really about the punishment. Yes, there are things worse than betting on yourself to lose, but as far as sports are concerned, trying to market and sell tickets and have people interested in your sport, they have to believe the outcome is real. And anytime Porter plays in a game, Peter, no one will ever believe the result or his performance is real because of what he did. So don't look at the severity. It's just you can't allow him to play it again because of how he would have tainted the game he's in.
Well, I think that – what's the opposite? Do we have an opposite point guard?
Point slot.
That's a bad call. It's a bad call. Once you completely violate the game like that, I'm sorry. It's just a wrap. And also, think about the fact that this is a rookie. Think about the hard work you've put in. You and your brother both worked your tail off your whole life. Now, granted, he's not his brother, right? But you're still early in your career, man. you have a chance to be able to become a real player in the league, at least be someone who's around and makes money. You threw it all away for a few bucks for someone else. All the friends and family who helped you your whole life, driving you to AAU games, God knows where, spending their money to make sure you could make it. And you finally make the league, and halfway through the season, my main thing is you really want to do a mental health evaluation with that. That's a sick person. That is such a crazy decision that I have to imagine you're not altogether there.
Right, and I encourage that he goes out and gets help. And I'm not saying he should never work again, but as far as the NBA is concerned, he's not playing in my league.
Don, know what you can do? Just talk to me about Mazda.
All you do is get more in a new Mazda from Ramsey Mazda. More selection, over 750 vehicles available, and more savings on their entire Mazda lineup. Like the new 2024 Mazda CX-30 2.5S, all-wheel drive, leased for just $199 a month at Ramsey Mazda, Route 17 North in Ramsey. Choose wisely. Choose Ramsey Mazda. Call 888-885-2891 for lease details. Excludes tax, title, and registration. Zero security deposit. VIN RM667991. MSRP 26,445. Ends 4/30/24.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And, boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
Peter and Don are here on what's becoming a rainy afternoon in Manhattan. How is it for you in Jersey, Don?
Same. Disappointing.
Getting there.
We had a nice couple of days.
Now, listen, let's just be honest. The last couple of days, it like quietly over the last couple of days just became beautiful spring. And you got to like, it happened so quick, Don. You know, like you're thinking constantly about like, oh, where's the good weather? Where's the good weather? And it like, and then you look up and you go, wait a second, we just had back-to-back sunny 70. It's spring. It just happened.
Yeah, but Tuesday and Wednesday is not the day that you pick to have beautiful weather. You know, it would be nice to have it on a Saturday or Sunday when you're
You know,
old.
I got to say something. I got to say something, and I need you to listen to me. Who the hell do you think you are? You're telling Mother Nature, or if you're the religious sort, the Jesus, Or the big man upstairs, what days Don LaGreca wants good weather because he has to take the kids to see Bluey?
Wake up, Flip.
You take the weather when it comes, Don.
I can have an opinion to say that when I'm stuck at work for more than half of the beautiful day, that I wish it was on a day where I wasn't working.
Well, you could say that, but I have a question. What does the Lord above say to you when you say that? He goes, we'll get a different job. I'm sorry. Do you not like the dream job that I gave you talking about sports? Oh, maybe if I just gave you a midday shift, then you'd appreciate it more. I mean, you sound like a real,
But I just think it makes sense that, yeah, you appreciate it, but you can't sit there and go, boy, if I had to pick, it wouldn't be Monday and Tuesday to have two great days. Now, I appreciate it. I drove in both of those days, and I was nice, and I had the window down, and I was cranking some tunes. It was awesome. But it still was frustrating to know that, you know, at 3 o'clock until 6:30, for 3.5 hours of that, I was in a building.
Don, don't feel
bad for me. I'm just saying that ideally, Monday and Tuesday are not the days. Those are the exact 2 days the majority of people would say, you know what, I'm good.
No, I don't agree. Because a lot of people would say on the days when I have to be out and about and moving around, I like it to be nice because at least it makes it more pleasant. You, because you have young children, you want the days on the weekend.
No. If I was single, I would rather just have the day. I could do things that I enjoy instead of things I have done. Now, of course, I'd love every day to be that way. I would love every day to be gorgeous and not have to drive in the rain. But I'm saying is that the majority of the day, I had to be in the building. We had our meeting at 2:30. So that's 4 hours of the 24. And then the other 8 hours you're sleeping, and then you got nighttime. So really, how much of daylight did you have to enjoy it? Just doing math, God. This is what I would tell God.
But by this logic, you kind of never get a good day. You know, I'm sleeping half the time, God. Maybe you could give us some better overnight weather. Maybe make it light during the night.
Make sense because we're sleeping. Now, there are people that work the overnight, but I'm just talking about the majority of people. If I'm having a conversation with God and he said, did you like those 2 days I gave you on Monday and Tuesday, huh? I'd be like, God, I really appreciate it. Thanks a lot. He's like, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to make every Monday and Tuesday that beautiful. But unfortunately, I'm going to have to make the weekends rainy. I'd say, God, can I have a word?
Well,
can we negotiate something better? But you'd be like, oh, okay, God, thank you. Thank you, sir. Well, I have another.
By the way, Don, who is to me, I've made the joke on the air. He's one of the worst negotiators I've ever heard of. But you're telling me you have a conversation with God. He's the one you're going to war with. He or she. They're the one you're going to war with.
Well, I'm just saying, if we're having a negotiation, now God shouldn't be surprised. He made me. So he would be like, all right, this is kind of what I thought Don would do. I made him.
Now, you're saying God just goes, oh, classic Don.
Yeah. this is exactly what I envisioned when I made him.
All right, so before we get to more phone calls here.
Do it.
The other story that's been bouncing around throughout the day is the Belichick of it all.
Okay.
And what happened to Bill Belichick during this offseason? And Don Van Natta Jr., Seth Wickersham, and Jeremy Fowler all have a story. By the way, what is it these days with all the stories being written by multiple people? Like, is that not sort of a new... What did you say?
Because they all did the work. Because I'm sure back in the day, it was probably the guy with seniority that got all the credit, and the other were minions. But we live in a world now where credit is due.
Yeah, but these guys are all sort of equally big. So it's kind of
right. But
I
they
just
all
like
did
there's
the
so
work.
Many of them.
I'm assuming they all contributed in some way, shape, or form.
I'm just saying I notice it much more than I used to. That's all I'm saying. It's everyone. Every story gets credit from like a handful of people. Back in the day, it wasn't that way. Now, so if you didn't catch the story, they break down kind of what happened with every team and why no opportunities appeared. So the short of it is this. The Eagles, Jeffrey Lurie did not seriously consider moving on from Sirianni. There was a conversation with Belichick where coaching for the team did not come up, according to a source. Cowboys, of course, decided to stay with Mike McCarthy. The Raiders had just fired two Belichick disciples and then decided to stay with Antonio Pierce, as we know, the interim.
Right.
Belichick was not interested in going to L.A., and the Chargers quickly got on board with Jim Harbaugh.
Mm-hmm.
The Panthers' story is Belichick would not have been a fit with David Tepper, the owner, who likes to do things like going through data to critique play calling.
That's a good move.
My Commanders... This one is actually a little more interesting, Don. There's a little more here. Minority owner Magic Johnson lobbied for Belichick, but the majority owner, Josh Harris, wanted to build an organizational structure similar to what he has with the Sixers and Devils, with a strong GM in charge of head coach working under the GM. Of course, as we know, they ended up grabbing Dan Quinn as their head coach when it was all said and done. The Titans, according to a source, said Belichick's ability to build a culture at this stage is an issue. He was so stubborn with the offense, he ran that offense down to a pulp. Mac Jones looked like a capable quarterback early. You think Joe Judge and Matt Patricia can run that offense for him? It's arrogance. Of course, they ended up going with Brian Callahan from Cincinnati. So there's essentially a story, Don, for why everybody didn't have a particular interest in Bill Belichick. But now, according to sources, it is possible that Belichick could want to coach next season should the opportunity come up. And the places that seem to interest him the most are reportedly all in the NFC East. The aforementioned Philly and Dallas, and the New York Football Giants.
Now, all those reasons make sense why they said no to Bill, except Dallas. They're a win-now team. I think McCarthy had a good year, but they haven't won with him. Jerry's not getting any younger. I would have given Belichick. It's the same logic behind why you gave Parcells all the power in 06. So what would be different with Bill? Like, but all the other teams are at, I guess I can see where you're coming from. He does gobble up the room. I don't necessarily think that the structure the Sixers and the Devils have is a path to winning necessarily, but it's obviously something you believe in. So if that's what Washington wanted to do, okay, I can wrap my mind around that. I still don't get Dallas. Because I don't think you're going to win with McCarthy. I know he won a Super Bowl in Green Bay, but I just think that you went there. It's just not working out. I would have given Bill a shot. That's the one that doesn't make sense to me. But I guess we'll find out. And as far as Bill going to those three places, well, I mean, those make sense. Dallas is close to winning. Philadelphia is close to winning. And the Giants, he's always said, he's had a, you know, he had the opportunity there. He loved it there, and he would want the chance. So that makes sense. So if Dallas underachieves again, Peter, and Bill's still there, don't you have to go there? I don't see a scenario in which Dable's going to lose his job, especially if they change quarterbacks. If they draft a quarterback, I think that buys Dable another few years. But if you run it back again in Philly and Dallas and it doesn't work out, how do you not go to Bill?
Right. I don't know. Now, would you have an appetite for it, Don, personally, as a fan?
As a Giant fan, having Bill come here?
Mm-hmm.
All right. If they don't draft a quarterback and they try to win with Jones and they embarrass themselves again, like they did in the beginning of last season, and it's just an awful year, yes. If they draft a quarterback, then I'd want to see it through with Dable. Because I saw what he did with Josh Allen, and I'd want to see that through. And no offense to Bill's age, if I draft a quarterback, it might take a couple of years at least, and I don't know how long you're going to have Bill. So I'd want him if I'm a ready-made team, and then maybe I can get rid of Daniel Jones and maybe sign a free agent and then try to win with what I have. And if they didn't draft a quarterback, then they draft Neighbors, and I think that there's some talent there you can kind of make it work. So then I would probably be interested in Bill. You accept that answer?
Yeah, no, I do. I mean, listen, I frankly believe that if this team really struggles in any way, regardless of who they bring in at quarterback.
Really?
If they struggle, regardless, if the Giants struggle this year and Belichick's available, I have trouble not doing it.
Yeah, I mean, I can't be mad at you for that. I just think that, what if they struggle because the quarterback is just like Eli when he first started, just a deer in the headlights?
Right, but everything else is good.
Yeah.
Well, I guess then it's about sort of feeling out the morale of the team. If you really feel like this team has bought in and that you really have a guy who like everyone loves, then do you really want to start over again with an aging, hard knock, you know, kind of tough ass head coach? Who's in his 70s? Is that really? I don't know if that's what you want to do.
I know. It's
so maybe you're right. If the only issue is the quarterback, then yes, maybe you bring him back.
Well, let me ask you this. Do you like what Washington was doing? Like, do you buy into that? They like the structure of GM and head coach and kind of team by committee. Like, do you accept the answer, or do you wish they did it?
No. I didn't want Belichick.
Okay,
I didn't think it was. I didn't think it was the move. I didn't think. I didn't feel like starting at this age. He's a guy who you have to allow to set sort of the cultural tone, mm-hmm. and I don't think I'm willing to do that right now.
I think it's all in the phrasing, right? Like, I'm a Belichick fan. I know what he did for my franchise, but I also know how good a coach he is. And I think he's still a very, very good head coach. But maybe the answer is just, hey, he's an outstanding coach. It's just not the right time. The situation just isn't right for him to coach this year, as opposed to, nobody thinks he's good anymore. I do not believe the latter. I do not believe that people don't think he can coach anymore. I just think the circumstances were just not right in certain places. And I think if he has the appetite to coach next year, I think something will open up for him. I still believe he can coach. Do you? Because you didn't want him in Washington. Was it the circumstances,
I'm not sure.
Or do you think he's done?
I'm honestly not sure. I sort of think it's over.
But
I lean towards it's over.
Okay, but what would? I'm not being that guy. It's just, what about him do you think it's over? Like, I just didn't think he had any talent last year. I really think if given a really good team that he can still coach. I don't think the game has passed him by. I think he's still relatable to his player. I mean, do we see examples of players just thinking he's a goofball and not paying attention? Did he have a team of guys that just he couldn't connect with? Or did you look at that Patriot team and goes, they were bereft of talent, didn't have a quarterback, didn't have a chance to win?
I that's what I'm saying, though. I can't tell because seemingly it's that, Don. But we've also seen him do so much with under-talented teams. And this time around, he was unable to do anything.
But even the best coach, you saw with Popovich, right? You know, all of a sudden he doesn't have any players and you're not going to win. Like he can only do so much. The fact that he was able to get them into the playoffs post Tom Brady with Mac Jones and whatever they finished
with
the that was great. But then at some point, the lack of talent is just going to catch up with you.
I think now he would need too much time to try to get back to where you'd want them to be. He's not the kind of guy who you bring in to just turn a team around in a season. He builds a culture. He brings in his guys. Well, it's a timeline I don't think he has anymore.
But and that's fine. If you're the, you know, like I said, if you're the Giants and you're bringing in a young quarterback, if you're a team.
No, Don. Dallas, fine. In the case of Dallas, I don't want to think about
it. I think Washington's not Dallas, but I think they're closer than it appears.
They're a little, yes, they're not.
You don't
not
think that Bill Belichick can get the presently constituted Washington Commanders into the postseason? You don't think that they would have been a postseason team with Bill Belichick last year?
I don't. Here's the thing. I don't think he can do it without a quarterback. I like Dallas because Dak is there. They have the guy. They have a guy. You may not think he's a Hall of Famer, but they have a guy. I would hate the idea of bringing in Belichick and then drafting Jaden Daniels or Drake May and thinking Belichick's... I don't trust Bill to do that, I don't think.
That I agree with, but I'm just saying... But you said it could be both. Like, you think that maybe he can't coach anymore. Do you think if he coached the 2023... Washington Commanders, they're not a playoff team?
Well, our quarterback situation last year, if it was Sam Howell?
Yeah.
I don't know that
what were their record last
year? He could work with bad. We ended up bad, Don. 6-11 in the end.
All right, 6-11. So you don't think Bill Belichick over Ron Rivera wouldn't get you maybe three more wins and be a possible playoff team?
Okay. Yeah, I mean, do I think that they would have gotten absolutely bombed at home against Chicago and things like that? Yeah, maybe he gets you a couple more games. But I'm telling you, the place that I really would take Belichick
would be Philadelphia or Dallas, where you know you have a quarterback.
Okay.
Jalen Hurts or Dak Prescott, I like the idea of Belichick being there. I don't know if I like it otherwise. Let's take a break. We have the phone lines are absolutely jammed. We'll talk some Knicks next. Danny on Long Island's waiting, of course. Omar wants to talk Belichick. So much to do. The K-Show on 98.7 ESPN.
Spring into gear at Bay Ridge Honda, your go-to Honda dealer serving the five boroughs of New York. Drive home one of over 280 new Hondas, plus make no payments for 90 days. Bay Ridge Plus benefits come with every new vehicle and get an extra $1,500 for your trade-in. Shop now in Brooklyn and online at BayRidgeHonda.com. No payments for 90 days with approved credit for well-qualified buyers. Only Bay Ridge Plus provided by EFG Companies. See dealer for details, ends 4/30/24.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
5 o'clock hour, we'll talk some New York Mets baseball. Another big win for the old Metsies today. Even the most pessimistic of Mets fans has to be pretty happy with where they're at. But we'll deal with that after 5 o'clock. Peter and Don on the K-Show, 98.7 ESPN. As promised, let's go to the very active phones. Danny on Long Island. What's up, Danny?
Good afternoon, guys. First of all, I'd like to just let everyone know there's a fundraiser going on Long Island today called Long Island Pizza Strong. There's about 65-70 pizzerias in on it. You go to the website, $5 of every pie will be donated to the family of the officer, Jonathan Diller, who was killed last month in the city. So if you haven't had your dinner plans yet or you want to rip up a pizza box later,
Don does
Long Island,
love that,
Long Island Pizza Strong, and you can get yourself a nice pie. I'm looking at a beautiful pie with peppers and onions right now. Can't wait to dig in. Peter, I think you guys nailed it with Belichick. He's so old. He's not 50-year-old Belichick where I'm going to come in, I'm going to disrupt your entire organization. People are going to be fired. There's going to be carnage. And I'm only going to be here for 3 years. So that's, you know, that doesn't work. It works if I have everything in place, but I'm not happy with the coach, and he's going to come in for 2 or 3 years. We're leaving everything in place, Bill. We're not firing anybody. We're not doing your whole thing. You want to coach a team? Just coach a team when it's a Super Bowl. Thank you. That's the only way it works. And I don't think Bill was willing to do that, and I don't think the Cowboys, quite frankly, would do that either. Because do you think Jerry's given up control of everything to this guy? And he's only going to be there for 3 years, so it doesn't work. And I think everybody, when you walk in, you start making demands on these organizations, and they're looking around at all the people that have worked there for 20 and 30 years, thinking this guy wants to fire half to have everybody. You know, it's very intimidating. I think he talked himself out of maybe a couple positions.
It's possible. I agree with that. That I think him running the whole show doesn't make a lot of sense anymore. But you're Dallas. You've got it. You've clearly got the talent. I think where they lack, honestly, is in head coach, and maybe quarterback. But I still think that Dak is a good quarterback. That he was willing to give up power for Parcells 20 years ago. And you're in your 80s, and you don't know how much longer you're going to have this talented team to win. I'm going to take my chance with Belichick. You look at what happened with Bruce Bochy, right? San Francisco thought he was done. He's old school. We're moving on to the analytics now. Bochy's in his mid-60s. What are we going to do this anymore? It's a young man's game. And then what does Bochy do, Peter? He goes to Texas, and he wins a World Series. Because I think if you're a good coach, you're always a good coach. Where you start to lose it as you get older, in my opinion, is all the power and the scouting and all that. But to think that Bill Belichick can't coach anymore, I think is silly. All right, he shouldn't be picking the groceries. He shouldn't have all of that on his plate. But if I need to win a game and I've got him patrolling the sidelines, I like my chances. I do.
Let's go to Dan in Queens. Hey, Dan.
Hey, guys. How are you guys doing today? Thank you for taking my call. Hey, you know, historically, I listen to your show all the time, so I'm just making a more historical point of, like, reference. I feel like sometimes you guys really do underplay the influence of legalized gambling these days and how it can affect player behavior. And, yeah, of course, there's some guys who aren't going to risk their contract, but, you know, I think the complexities of life that these guys face, something like, hey, you tell a family member, make a bet on their game based on something they might do, and like, okay, that's how I'll pay you out instead of you coming and asking me for money. I think legalized gambling is really a bigger issue than we give it credit for. It may be better for consumers where they don't have to go hide and find a bookie or whatever, but from that perspective, but it also limited how many people would casually gamble.
Yeah, but Dan, right? you have NFL players being suspended for 4 games for betting on a NBA game at the facility. Like, cool. It's so heavily regulated. What moron is going to risk their entire career and fines to go place a bet on an app?
Absolutely. But the thing is, I don't think it's necessarily them, right? What happens if it's a family member or a cousin, aunt, uncle, friend?
Now, look at it. All I know is that Shane Pinto of the Ottawa Senators, apparently, and this is the story, that a few buddies were betting on gambling sites on his computer, and he got suspended like 40 games. Like, even if your family member, if it gets traced back to you, you are going to be the one that suffers. And I just don't think that these players, unless they're major addicts or complete morons, are going to or sacrifice
or really unwell.
Peter, I think he's on to something. We shouldn't completely ignore it. But I'm sorry, if we can't function as a society to let people make legal bets because there's a possibility that some player is going to throw their career away, I'm sorry, that's on the player. And that's why the NBA had to come down so hard on Porter, because you can't have that impropriety. It has to be the death sentence for these players if they make those types of mistakes.
With you 100%. I'm sorry. It's not going to be often. I'm not saying it can't be a factor. But again, that's my point earlier about Porter. You have to be so sick to be willing to throw this away. And I'm not saying that nobody is that sick, but it's just not going to be that common. Let's go to Omar in the Bronx. What's up, Omar?
Hey, guys. Love the show. Regarding Belichick, I just wanted to think, with all the openings they had, do you think owners just don't think that highly of him, or they just don't want to deal with him anymore?
I think they just don't want to deal with him. I think they respect him as a coach, but with him comes a lot. I think he's got too much power. And how much longer can he do it? And I can understand some of these organizations saying, I don't want to give him everything. But if I got a team that's close, man. Even you admitted, Peter, that you think that maybe he might be done. But if I got a chance to win now, he's not going to screw it up for me. But if I got a young team, like you said, or, you know, I think I got a long-term plan here. Do I want to hand him the keys to the Cadillac? I can understand your apprehension, but if you don't think he can coach anymore, then I disagree.
It's a fair argument either way. Let's go to Sal in Brooklyn. Hey, Sal.
Hi, guys. I've been listening to the Michael K. show for 20 years. I just want to tell you how I started listening.
Okay. All right. I want to hear.
So I was in seventh grade in 2004, and all my friends all day are talking about it, and Mike and the Mad Dog, how I have to listen. And my parents didn't let me listen to sports radio. I went to Radio Shack and I bought a handheld analog radio, but I just couldn't get the dial on 660. So I ended up on 1050, and I've been listening for 20 years.
Oh, well, thank God for technology, Sal. That is an awesome story. Thank you. Listen, Mike and Chris were very powerful back in 2004. I think your parents didn't let you listen to sports radio. I guess they were NPR parents, right?
I mean, listen, either thank goodness for technology, Don, or thank goodness that he's unable to figure out even how to use a radio. But 1-800-919-3776. We'll talk some baseball next, as well as more on the Knicks, the K Show on 98.7 ESPN.
Well, you know that my home is my happy place. You know that. And that happy place needed a little bit of a refresh. That's why I chose the painting professionals at Serta Pro Painters to give it a facelift. They have exceeded my expectations with great workmanship and communication. I received daily updates on the progress of the job, and when they finished, they made sure that I was happy. They didn't just pack up and go. No, no, there was somebody there, went over everything with me and with Jody, and they wanted to make sure, hey, you like this? They wanted to make sure that we were completely satisfied before they considered the job completed. They take pride in what they do, and you could trust them to get the job done right. I could not be more satisfied with the Serta Pro Painters. The whole process has been stress-free. Now's the time to do the home painting project that you've been putting off. Schedule your free estimate today at CertaPro.com. Each Serta Pro Painters business is independently owned and operated by men and women who live in our community. They are a local business that you can support. Schedule your free estimate online at CertaPro.com. That's Serta with a C. When choosing a painting professional for your home or business, the choice is simple. Choose happy. Choose Serta Pro Painters.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.